You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service.
Hi, DXers. Welcome to MarketScope for April 2009, the anniversary edition. How many years has it been, Fred? I counted all my fingers and toes and stuff, and I can't get any higher than 21, but I think we're well beyond that. Right, Fred? Anyway, this month we'll be finishing up Charleston, South Carolina with Mark Marino, and we'll begin with his first station. It's Spanish format. I can't tell you who they are, but they desperately need Charlie Van Dyke to do some IDs.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio.
All Nine Books and Media, 243 King Street, Charleston, your complete Catholic Resource Center.
My name is Joe Meyer from St. Anthony's Parish in Walterboro. You're listening to South Carolina Catholic Radio, WQIZ, 810 AM, St. George, Charleston.
Thank you. This is Cresta in the Afternoon, where we get a chance to talk about the things that matter most.
WJKB AM 950, the best of Charleston County and classic hit country.
Everybody knows you've been stepping on my toes, and I'm getting pretty tired of it.
I'm from New Hope, and you're listening to my radio station, AM 950, WJKB, Classic Hit Country.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day from the home of classic country favorites, John Conley and Friday Night Blues. Tom T. Hall also in there. Hang on for Ronnie Millsap. He's next. And here's Step by Step from Eddie Rabbit.
Country folks can survive.
This is AM 950 WJKB.
Mark Shorter Hanahan.
Your home for continuous classic hit country.
A Kirkman Broadcasting Station.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
ESPN Radio 910. The Team. WTMZ. Dorchester Terrace, Brentwood, Charleston.
A Kirkman Broadcasting Station.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Neil Jackson. It's League MVP Kobe Bryant versus Tim Duncan.
Mark Sanford, always a pleasure. Governor, thank you for dropping in anytime. We love having you.
Pleasure. You take care. Have a good one. Thanks.
Bye-bye. 8:53, the time, Real Talk Radio 1340 WQSC. Andy Thomas with you on your Charleston each and every morning. Look at the people we brought to you already this morning. We've had Greg Hambrick from the Charleston City Paper about the impact of this high court ruling on the smoking ban in Greenville. Then we jumped to give you a statewide perspective on that issue with Dan from the Smoke-Free Action Network, Dan Kerrigan. Trump fighters. He's Governor Mark Sanford. Yesterday we had House Speaker Bobby Harrell. Coming up next, a bit of a business spotlight on the hotel industry in the peninsula and the impact that events such as the Cooper River Bridge Run have on their business. I would think pretty extraordinary, but we'll find out when we talk to Brian Thompson from Renaissance Inn on Wentworth Street in the peninsula in the downtown area. Gorgeous facility that just recently underwent some renovations, too. Real Talk Radio 1340 WQSC.
You're waking up first thing in the morning with Andy Thomas on Charleston's Best Talk. Real Talk Radio 1340 WQSC. This is Real Talk Radio 1340 WQSC Charleston, a member of the Kirkman Network.
CDA Broadcast News. I'm Frank Sedapani. The Fed chairman is about to share his thoughts on the struggling economy, the credit markets, and Wall Street with key members of Congress.
Visit riverdogs.com for tickets or call 577-DOGS.
News leader by day, sports leader by night. You're listening to CNN Radio 1450 with Fox Sports Overnight. CNN Radio 1450 with Fox Sports Overnight. WQNG, Charleston.
I hope you got a nice bunch of sleep last night on a Friday morning. I'm Robin Mead. Glad to have you with us. Morning, sunshine. What do you say we look at the headlines together,
Purell, one healthy little squirt.
This is Sports Radio 1450, The Team, the newest member of the Kirkman Network.
This is the brand new Sports Radio 1450 WQNT, Charleston, South Carolina, a proud addition to the Kirkman Network.
You make me want to have a radio show, Dan. You make me want to intern at the Dan Patrick Show for free.
I hope you aspire to do more than just host a radio show. Thank you, Darren.
I'll give you lessons on how to become a reporter later.
I'll give you some lessons on how to be an editor, because I was your boss once.
Yeah, you were, and are no longer. How did that happen?
Call in at 877-3DP-SHOW.
Do you know what this clown idiot said?
Hey, Holmes,
first of all, don't call me Holmes.
What's wrong with Oreo Oreo Jungle Love?
Jeter in a Red Sox uniform. Tough. How would that go?
I think I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Online at danpatrick.com.
I don't care how long your hair is. I had the worst. I had Fabio hair.
Fabio.
We're big in Beaver Dam today.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Now, Dan Patrick.
Well, how surprised are you? You shouldn't be. Give credit to Greg Popovich. He's not going to take it, and he probably won't be singled out. But Greg Popovich is the big reason why the San Antonio Spurs will meet the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
This is WPAL-FM, Ridgeville, Somerville, Charleston. Soon, Way FM will come to 100.9. Check us out at wayfm.com. That's wayfm.com. Way FM Charleston will be featuring contemporary Christian music 24/7 for youth and young adults. Way FM's music includes Mercy Me. For more details on Charleston's newest radio station coming soon.
Thanks, Mark, for a great job in recording a lot of radio stations. Next month, Camille Petreca takes us on a tour of her tuner in Hartford, Connecticut. Remember, if you'd like to submit a Market Scope, send your tapes or discs to me, Phil Wayne, at 313 Spring Street, Upper Sandusky, Ohio, 43351, 1652. The Audio Service membership would love to listen in to your hometown stations. Now, here are the musings from the members.
The opinions expressed in the editorial and the musings are those of the speaker and do not represent the views of the National Radio Club, DX Audio Service, or its editors.
Hi, my name is Mike Lance. I am from Miami. I was born here in the Miami area, lived in Boston for 3 years, went to Perkins School for the Blind. I've been interested in radio since I was, let's say, 4 years old. I've been a DX Audio Service member since the 1980s, around, I guess, 1987. I found out about it from listening to some magazines for the blind. My hobbies are broadcasting and ham radio. I am a ham operator. My call sign is KG4UKB. And I am also into talking to people, and I also like listening to radio stations, radio jingles, exercising, bike riding, and enjoy working with my guide dog, Lexus. Many happy years with the DX Audio Service. Keep up the great work. So good to hear Pat Cassidy on the air again, on the Musings to the Members. Question, what is 1380 doing now in Delaware, and what happened to 99.5 in Delaware, and what are the stations that are Spanish, and so far WINZ has not gone or sports yet. I will keep you posted. Thank you for listening.
This is Tim Hendel in Huntsville, Alabama. I have some questions about formats and translators. A station in Priceville, halfway between Huntsville and Decatur, it's on 1310. They've had a format change from Southern Gospel to Oldies. The call letter change was noted in AM Switch. They've also put on an FM translator on 105.3. I would like to know, first of all, what's the maximum power that these translators can have, and what does an AM station have to do to justify the FCC granting them a translator? Also, when a station changes format like this, dial surfers like us discover it, but how does the average public know the format is a totally different thing from what they were before? Do there tend to be articles in local newspapers, billboards along the highway, or just how does a station inform the general listenership of their new format? Thank you very much.
Happy anniversary, DXAS. This is Audrey Levine in New York City. I'm calling because I wanted to tell you a little bit about myself and new directions upon. Anyway, I happen to be blind, and I started out by DXing to vacation places, in vacation places, and that would be my pictures. And in the 80s, when I first started doing this, I noticed that, well, we didn't have the uniformity of radio stations, so it would be giving me a sample of the diversity of people in the various regions that I would visit, and I'd be able to tell by the radio formats, their listenership, etc. And I continued doing that, and I know I can do it on the web, but I kind of slowed down on doing that because my music career has taken off. I have a regular slot in a New York City nightclub once a week, and I have two businesses. One is a nonprofit called AJL Music, and I teach music in the schools instead of teaching in the classroom as I had been doing. I'm going around to different schools and putting together different programs and working with students who are already in music and want careers in music. And my other business does artist development, so we have some new up-and-coming artists that you'll be hearing on the radio if you listen to Top 40 Radio. I would say in the next 6 months, some boy bands and singers, etc. So I can be reached at 212-614-8764 and 212-995-1137. And I look forward to hearing from anybody that wants to talk about anything happening in the area or if I can be of help to anyone. Have a nice day. And again, happy anniversary and congratulations. I've been a member since maybe 1990, 91, a long time. And keep on trucking, Mr. Balker. Doing a great job. Take care.
Hello, Fred and DXers. This is the one and only Victor speaking to you from the Schmidt House in downtown Silver Spring, Maryland. I became a member, I believe it was 1989, and the first tape I got from the DX audio service was the big news, WCAU in Philadelphia going off the air. I think that was August of 89. I started DXing when I was 9 years old, played with my father's Magnavox radio, and then my mother showed me what shortwave was and got interested in that. Then my father gave me his Helicopter radio, and I had fun picking up distant stations for the first time at night. And I think one of the first stations I got was WoWo in Fort Wayne. I was living in Massachusetts at the time. Then I found out that I could DX on TV. I got this very weak Channel 13, and I asked my mother where it was coming from, and she said, oh, Portland, Maine, where I was born. And then I discovered Skip. And the way the stations were coming in, I thought it looked like TV shortwave. I work at the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. I'm a quality assurance specialist, checking the cassettes that come through to make sure that they are duplicated properly before the producer is allowed to send them to the regional libraries around the country. My hobbies, well, of course, DXing. I also like collecting oldies, oldies that the oldie stations do not want to play, and I want to thank some of the members for giving me some of their oldies over the years. I have them in a collection, and I also like going for walks, and I like taping with other people, and I do tape with other members of the audio service, so that's a little bit about me. I live in a house, and I call it the Schmidt House.
Hello, audio service subscribers. This is Paul Burkhart speaking to you from Little Rock, Arkansas, and I want to ask if anyone can tell me about the history of Little Rock AM radio. There is a station at 1440 that's all Spanish that I have not found out the call letters of. I'd be kind of interested in the history of the AM dial from the 50s or the 60s up to the present. I know that there is a station at 760 and 880. Both of them are religious, and there's also one at 1050, which is religious. But I'd like to know what the formats of those stations were when they were on. I don't know if there are any other people in Little Rock that are in the DX audio service, or anyone that's in Arkansas that's in the audio service. But it would be interesting to know, since not too much is known about the Arkansas market, you might say. Take care.
Greetings, DX audio service members. This is Terry Livingston Hughes in Los Angeles. Thank you for telling me, Fred, about the station in Soquel, and the one that seems to be fighting it out once in a while with KSL seems to be from Ensenada. John, I'm wondering if the station you were talking about between, if the city you were talking about between San Diego and Los Angeles might have been Irvine, which is not where Avalon is. Avalon's out on Catalina. But I think the offices and studios for KBRT may be in Irvine now. We were asked to tell how we became DXers. I had been asking my parents for a shortwave radio when I was a kid so I could learn about other countries and other cultures, and my father decided that what I would get as a Christmas present when I was 10 was a very good AM-FM radio, and so during the middle of the night, I started tuning around, and I could pick up stations from other states, which was wonderful, and I finally got a shortwave radio when I was about 20, and so I've been listening not only to other states, but also other countries. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hi, Kevin McGill, Madison, Wisconsin. It's March the 5th, Thursday, and responding to the February military radio thing. That hadn't been the first time I'd heard the military-style radio. My brother Mike, when he'd come back from Vietnam in 1971, had given me a Concord AM radio tape recorder combination, and he had taped what radio was like over there, over in Vietnam. I'm sure it was AFRTS. I don't remember where he was over there, But I wish to heck now I had held on to it, but it was quite interesting. I had been receiving the DX audio service since, was it 99 or 2000? I can't remember now, but fellow DXAS member Glenn Schrader got me introduced to it. My other hobbies outside of radio are, in fact, probably my main hobby is actually automobiles and things related to it. And how I got interested in the hobby of radio in and of itself, well, I'd received, well, it's probably the only Ford I ever owned in my life, in Christmas of 63, a Philco transistor radio. And fellow DX audio service member Mike Dukin got me into the actual act of listening to the radio and tuning around and whatnot. But the actual hobby of DXing kind of started out as, and I may have gone over this before, but a stupid challenge that I took on myself in 1969. It involved a couple of cars, one of my brothers had owned, and another car that a buddy of his had owned, and they were going on about how hot the cars were and blah, blah, blah. And I says, well, can I try out the radios? I mean, are the car radios themselves as hot as the cars that they're in? Well, I think I found it out that both of them were better than the crummy transistor radio I had at the time. And that article on baseball and radio, the funny thing was, before I'd read the article, our assistant pastor and I had been talking about this very same thing yesterday, about how baseball is so radio-oriented. It's kind of interesting. That's all for now, good DXing. Catch you folks later.
Hello there, DXers. Josh Owens here in my new home of Somerville, Georgia. I'd like to say a good hello to everybody. Hadn't been out here in a while. I got into the hobby back when I was a little kid, tuning across the AM dial and found WCBS, and I was hooked. I'm like, wow, station from far away in New York. And that's when we really started listening to a lot of different stations at night and even in the daytime, and still enjoy doing that in my new home of Somerville, Georgia. I've been a member of the DX Audio Service in the NRC since 1997. Got introduced to the magazine by the late Ron Clark of Walkertown, North Carolina. I always enjoyed the hobby. I used to work in radio. I look forward to getting back into it, but if not, we'll just keep listening until the day we die, probably. So, welcome from Somerville, and howdy to all.
Hi, this is John German from Elmira Heights, New York. I got started getting the DX audio service in 2002, January of that year. Victor Schmidt sent me a tape of it, and I've since been subscribing to that. This is my seventh year. As for the question about radio, I got started interested in about radio stations back in the early 50s. I was listening to, my parents always listened to WNY, WLM, and which were the only two stations on at that time. But let's not forget, WENY got started in 1927 as WESG, which stood for Elmira Star Gazette, a newspaper which owned the station for many, many years. It is now WNY 1230 on the dial. At that time, it was 800 on the dial. I have one or two questions. I need to get more information on Conrad programming, which was in the 50s. If anybody knows about the Conrad signals and stuff, I'd like to hear more of it. I got one from WIOU in Iowa. I think it was Des Moines, Iowa. And also, what became of KCDR in, I think it was San Francisco, California, East Band Shortwave, along with KMBH, I think was Los Angeles, and CKLT and CKNC, which were also on shortwave. I wonder what happened to all these stations. 73s and Good DX.
This is Camille Petreca from Wethersfield, Connecticut, which is right over the Hartford line. I've been a member of the DX Audio Service here, National Radio Club, for about 23 years, and my hobbies include doing cryptograms, promoting the large print and braille book that I wrote about my dog, traveling, cooking, playing piano by ear, and just reading and enjoying every day of my wonderful retirement, which I retired from my job 10 years ago. And so just want to say hi to all the DXer friends we have out there. Bye for now.
Hi, folks. This is Dean Sorensen from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. The recent musings ask us to comment on who we were and introduce ourselves a little bit, so I'm going to do that. I'm kind of a new listener to the audio service. Andy Ohms, who's down here in the Arizona place where I winter, and I became acquainted a couple of years ago, and Andy introduced me with a couple of sample cassettes, which I immediately fell in love with, subscribed, and enjoying monthly editions now. So I've been faithfully following and a subscriber for about a year, and before that, with a hit and misser. I'm not a hobbyist DXer. I'm more of a commercial broadcaster. I've been in the operation and ownership of radio stations for over 52 years now, operating out of South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, and Nebraska. And I guess, though, I've been a hobbyist DXer in the fact that for years and years, my family's been pulling their hair out as I travel around the country, because as I listen to the radio, every time the station starts a record, I want to switch to a different station to find out where they are or what commercials or what call letters I may pick up. It's fun, and I certainly appreciate all the support you folks have given to radio over the years, and I look forward to continuing to be a DXAS listener on the weekly reports, or monthly reports. Thanks again, Dean Sorensen from South Dakota.
This is Andy Ohms calling from my home in Pine, Arizona. I'm calling because of Mr. Vobey's persuasion that we should all call for the anniversary issue. And I've been a DXAS recipient for about 5 years. I heard about it through the national from the DX News, which I've been receiving 10 or 15 years. And my radio interests are AM, DXing, and program content. Also, old-time radio or historical radio programming content. Also, shortwave listening, and also antique electronic gear, mostly radios. Thank you very much, and I would love the DXAS. Bye.
Hi, DX Audio Service members. This is Fred Vobey speaking to you from the office of the DX Audio Service. I started in radio back in 1968 as one of those pest kids that hung around the radio station. I actually started back in 1964, but in 1968, I hung around a station so long that they finally gave pity upon me and told me if I could get my broadcast license, I could have a job. And I started at a whole $1.60 an hour at an FM station playing elevator music, of all things. But I progressed up through the ranks, worked at the William B. Tanner Studios, Stax Recording Studios, and a few other places along the line until 1985, when I had one of those moments where you realize that there is something that you need to do in life. That was when a blind friend of mine who was a radio DXer mentioned to me that I was pretty darn lucky that I could read the magazines on radio. And it was at that time that I realized that I could do something to perhaps solve the problem by putting together some friends and see if we could put together a magazine, which was named the DX Audio Service. Well, also in 1985, I left radio and went into television at the NBC affiliate in Lima, Ohio, as the chief engineer. And in the last several years, I've advanced up through the ranks. I'm now the vice president and the chief engineer of the TV station, which has made me extremely busy. It's also made our station somewhat kind of interesting. I think we may be one of the first stations to have four TV stations all located in the same facility, broadcasting different networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox, all from the same 24x12 master control room. So it's going to be an interesting ride as we go through the next couple of years as a, what would that be, a quadopoly, Mark?
Quadopoly, yeah. Well, I guess that's what it would be. I think it's more of Fred Vobey on his way to becoming king of the media universe. All kidding aside, Fred, I think I speak for the rest of the DXAS editors in thanking you for your leadership over these many years and for making this such a fine product. I personally am very proud to be one of your merry band of editors and contributors. Let's keep up the good work, and we'll see you next month.
If you are like myself and live in a suburban environment, you probably can sympathize with me on the fact that it's hard to put up an outside antenna that will actually do something. This lot originally was rather large until the Vobey family decided to expand and put a shop out back, and, well, slowly the land kind of eroded away.
But this article first appeared in Monitoring Times magazine back in September of 2008. Somehow I missed it, probably because of my busy schedule. But it was written by Wayne Heinen, N0POH, and if that name sounds familiar, he is the chairman of the National Radio Club. And I thought that I'd read Wayne's article here on the DX Audio Service, because it might have some relevance to some of us who would like to receive distant stations while living in a very urban environment. It reads as follows. Today's suburban environment can complicate DXing in many ways. Many of us live on small lots that are, in some areas of the country, actually smaller than lots in older urban areas. The advent of anti-recreational antenna covenants in many areas has limited DXers to stealth outdoor antennas and a variety of indoor antennas. Unfortunately, SWLs, broadcast band DXers, and ham radio operators don't have the clout of the satellite TV industry to override these various rules like they did. In the last few years, I've had my interest in more serious DXing rekindled. I have, for many years, used a variation of the NRC FET Old Azimuth Loop. The frame is slightly smaller, and I did not use an amplifier with mine. Loop antennas have been the mainstay of broadcast band DXers for many years, and they still are an important part of the broadcast band DXers' antenna arsenal. One thing I wanted to accomplish was to get some form of outdoor antenna away from my house and reasonably far away from my neighbors so that I could avoid some of the noise that is generated by today's modern electronics. The loop worked out well, but being inside, it was very susceptible to electronic noise from inside the house. What I was looking for was a way to improve my monitoring station that resides on a postage stamp lot in a 25-year-old suburban subdivision. I am fortunate that I live in an area where the original covenants restricting antennas to one mounted on the house and no towers has expired. Wire antennas can be erected, but the question became of what to erect, where to erect it, and how. Improvisation is the key to adding antennas at my DX location. If you notice the diagram that accompanies many of the antennas shown in manuals, antenna articles, and other publications, you see that everyone has more or less convenient trees that are high and strong. Well, not so at my listening post. My subdivision is on the plains east of Denver, Colorado. Aurora has rather a descriptive name, Saudia Aurora, which was derived from its lack of trees. What trees I do have are not very tall and are subject to a lot of movement and sway in the winds here on the plains. I spent quite a bit of time searching on the internet and reading various articles and books looking for a small antenna that I could fit on my lot. I decided that a flag antenna would fit very nicely on the back fence. These antennas are rectangular and have two vertical legs approximately 10 feet high and a center horizontal arm that's approximately 20 feet in length. The ideal ratio of legs to arms is 2.07, so 10 foot by 20 foot works just fine. The back fence was not quite a perfect east-west configuration. I could also run the flag on the fence on the west side of the house. That would give me close to north and south configuration. I used some 1-inch by 2-inch furring strips to extend the height of the 4-inch by 4-inch fence post. This works fine on the north-south flag, but I had to beef up the east-west runs with cedar 2-inch by 4-inch extenders, because the wind from the north was bending my original furring strips much more than I had liked. The flag also allowed me to have a lower-to-the-ground antenna secured to the cedar fence, thus keeping it away from Buddy, the family dog. The east leg of the east-west flag shows the upright support. You can make out the wire across the top. In summer, the tree leaves hide most of the antenna from view. The wire for the antenna is not critical. I happen to have a roll of 12-gauge AWG in the house, and that's what I used. The normal flag configuration calls for feed line half the way up one of the vertical legs. In this effect creates a cardioid pattern toward the leg that contains the termination resistance between two halves of the flag. By initial termination was a potentiometer mounted in a waterproof enclosure. I adjusted it at the antenna while listening to the frequency of interest using a baby monitor, which broadcasts my Drake R8's audio that I listened to on a scanner. It was a little cumbersome, but it worked. I used these antennas for a season and was impressed by the fact that I could set my taping setup on a frequency and use the east-west flag one evening to log a variety stations from those directions, mostly favoring the east, as the feed line was on the west leg. The next night, I could change to the north-south antenna and get a different variety of stations favoring the north more than the south, since my feed line was on the south end. By virtue of their size, the signal delivered by the flag antenna is not very great. I use a variety of different homebrew and commercially produced broadband amplifiers to increase the signal from the flag to the receiver. There are a variety of plans available in various magazines and publications of DX clubs for those that might like to try building a project. A quick search on the internet will lead you to more plans and many commercial suppliers. Depending on the number of stations in proximity to your DX location, the amount of gain, that is, amplification, of the different amplifiers may be desirable to prevent overloading from strong local stations. It is always a good idea to use only the amount of gain required to present a readable signal to your receiver. The original feed lines for these were whatever coax I just happened to have around the shack. I used a lot of smaller diameter coax. The losses that are experienced in receive-only antennas when using smaller gauge coax, such as RG58, are negligible at broadcast band and HF frequencies. If you keep your eyes open, you may be able to get some used coax that is still in good shape at many of the ham fests. Amateur radio flea markets, for example. I acquired some nice 100-foot runs of RG8 and RG58U that were actually free for the taking at a few local ham fests. If the exterior insulation is in good shape and the resistance between the center conductor and the outside shield is infinite, and you have good continuity from one end to the other, it should do just fine for a feed line leading into your shack. Other articles I have seen talked about maximizing signal transfer and impedance matching. They recommend using a ballon to match the balanced flag antenna to the unbalanced coax feed line, hence the name ballon. I started out using some mini circuit transformers, mounted them on my own weatherproof enclosures for my ballons. The mini circuit units are very fine wire for their transformers and are encased in plastic, looking a little like integrated circuits. I am fairly sure that one of the mini circuit transformers was fried by a static charge that probably accumulated in the antenna. Colorado is very arid and close lightning strikes are not at all rare at the top of my ridge. After reading an article on impedance matching and balance by John Bryant, Bill Bowers, and Nick Hall Patch, I decided to wind some of my own ballon transformers. I ordered my toroids direct from Amadon and got the number 30 wire at my local Radio Shack. I found that winding the transformers was not at all that difficult, and made both overlapping coils and some opposite winding coils. The tests and their conclusions in the article led me to use the opposite winding coils. I suggest using the wound toroid balance in areas of high RF and thunderstorms. My enclosures were home brew in a pill bottle. The sun has bleached the bottle clear and will soon be replaced with a watertight electrical box. These boxes are about $5 at most hardware stores and are easily adaptable at the house for the ballon. I secured the ballon on the inside of the box with a small dab of hot melt glue. These boxes seal very well and showed no signs of moisture inside during this spring's inspection. The BNC connector and the 1032 brass hardware are sealed both inside and out with hot melt glue as well. A good ground is something that I find very important. I also have a large ham radio tower with a lot of Yagis. The ground system for the tower is designed to take static away from the shack and tower and dissipate it into the ground, if I should be so unfortunate as to have lightning hit it. My ground system is 6 8-foot-long rods that are placed between and away from the tower and the shack. The entry panel is a piece of 1/4-inch thick brass plate mounted on the outside wall of the shack with a UHF SO239 feed-through for the coax. Over the years, I've built a variety of projects based on the designs of WA1ION, Mark Conley, a longtime broadcast band DXer and contributor to both the National Radio Club and the International Radio Club of America. Mark has many innovations in antennas, tuners, phasers, and associated accessories that have been at the forefront of the technical aspects of broadcast band DXing hobby. One of Mark's articles featured a box that he called the Terminator Gizmo. The principle behind this box and the associated antennas was to have a feed line leading into each leg of the flag antenna and a switch between the two feed lines with a toggle switch. The feed line that was not feeding the resistor was then terminated with a 500-ohm potentiometer. That, in effect, would allow you to vary the resistance for the best termination to create the cardioid pattern. By switching from one side to the other, you could change the orientation of the pattern 180 degrees. I modified both of my flags to match the design of this gizmo and use these flags to feed a phasing box. I have used Mark's phaser designs, both active, amplified, and passive, with great success. I'm currently using a mini DXP-5A phaser. It's relatively easy to construct, and it allows me to phase the two antennas together to eliminate unwanted signals to hear whatever may be lurking underneath. In addition to building phasing units, there are commercially produced units that are either designed for broadcast band DXing or are adaptable to broadcast band DXing. Radio Plus, MFJ, and DX Engineering offer a variety in a wide range of prices. The principle is rather simple. Once one equalizes the signal coming in from each antenna, the signals are combined and then the phase is changed with a simple resistor, capacitor, or inductance capacitor circuit. The result varies by location, re-radiation from nearby objects, and other factors. The bottom line is that I have an antenna farm on a lot that is approximately 70 by 100 feet. The flags also proved reasonable reception on the international shortwave bands. Even with all the coax switching, project boxes, and the Drake R8B, the small built-in corner desk in the shack holds the entire listening setup. If you would like to hear some of the results of my broadcast band DXploits, you can listen to over 900 MP3 recordings of broadcast band DXing from the shack here in Aurora just by visiting my website, www.wayneheinen.com. Before we skedaddle out of here, I just want to make a quick mention that I do have a few items still left over from my studio cleaning that we mentioned a few issues back. These are items that people said they wanted, but they never ponied up the money or contacted me again after the initial contact where I told them how much it would cost to ship. But I do have the boxes of reel-to-reel tapes, and I also have the computer speakers, which are real nice for plugging into a Walkman radio and being able to have a nice loud sound in the room. If you're interested in those, please contact me. Also, I'd like to make a plea to all our DX Audio Service members that we could use some more members here at the club. And it's very easy to help us out. All you got to do is pass the word on to all your friends about the DX Audio Service. And if you happen to know somebody who perhaps was a member maybe 10 years ago and dropped out for whatever reason, if you can convince them to come back, what we'll do is we'll give you two more issues onto your DX Audio Service subscription absolutely free of charge. If you can talk an old member back into the club, or perhaps sign up a new member. Sorry, this isn't good for renewals, and it's only for 2 months. So if you're thinking about getting a good deal here during the bad economy, there's a good way to do it. Well, that's it. That's all. There is no more. I think I'm going to go and relax a little bit here on this weekend, and we'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff. Remember, get out and support radio.